Blog Talk Radio.
There's nothing too hard for the Lord. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. He made this world out of nothing. Scooped out the deep blue sea. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. He made this world out of nothing. Scooped out the deep blue sea. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. Now have you any mountain that you cannot tunnel through? And have you any river that seems incrossable? Oh my God, he specializes in those things. Seems so impossible, and he can do what no other God can do. Let me say that again. Have you any tunnel, mountain you cannot tunnel through? And have you anything that seems so impossible? Whoa, 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 God, he specializes in those things. Seems so impossible. And he can do, or he will do, what no other God can do. My, 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 my. Ah, ha, ta, ba, 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 bo, shay. Oh, this is the Apostle Shah, title of the Bull Show. Alexander Locker, the Birdwood Church, 4213 Street, and Urban, North Carolina. I'm so excited. I'm so excited about serving the Lord. I'm so excited about being a Christian. I'm just so excited about born again. Not so much excited that I got a gift. Not so much excited I got a talent. Not so much excited I got an ability. But that's what the disciples did when they came back. They were so excited. They were so timid that they had went out and in the name of Jesus cast that demon. Oh, so the demon came out screaming. They thought Jesus was going to applaud them because they went out and demons came out in the name. Jesus told them, don't rejoice so much that you cast that demon. Don't rejoice so much that you use your gift. But rejoice because your name has been written in the Lamb Book of Life. That's enough to say thank you for. That's enough to praise you. That's enough to lift you up. That's enough to magnify your name in the name of Jesus. So if you saved, if you've been born again, if you are Christian, if your name been written in the Lamb Book of Life, that's enough right there to give God a praise. So we're thinking this afternoon, if we come to you in the name of Jesus, oh God, we pray that you got on your listening ear, there's a word this afternoon from God. We want to talk this evening from a word that God gave me all day long, but ministered to me. And I said, wow, this is a powerful message for the ears of God people. God told me to tell you this afternoon. It don't matter what you're going through, you are coming out. It does not matter what you're going through. You are coming out of it all. Not some of it, but you're going to come out of it all. God ain't the kind of God that bring you halfway out of something and then he leave you in the other half. That wouldn't be deliverance. Deliverance is all the way out. Delivery ain't 75% and 20% hanging. Delivery is 100%. God is a God that delivers 100%. He'll bring you out completely. He'll heal you and make you whole. Oh, he had that kind of power. He hadn't lost his deity. He hadn't lost his power. He hadn't lost his glory. He hadn't lost his healing anointing. He's still God. Oh, the problem ain't in God. The problem in us, because the enemy got us believing that God's a partial God. He's a halfway God. He's a sometimes God. He's an every now and then God. But I come out and tell you, he's the same God he was 6,000 years ago. He's the same God he was when he created the heavens and the earth, when he spoke and said, let there be light. He's still that God. But we got to get our faith to a place where we can believe that he's God. For the Bible said when we come to him, we got to believe that he is God and believe that he'll reward us for diligently seeking him. So we thank God for the Lost Sheep program this afternoon. We thank God again for Pastor Margie, who allowed this opportunity to be so. She could have chose somebody else, but we thank God for her, for God laying on her heart to give us this opportunity to minister to you. Again, we're talking about your coming out all the way. Amen. You need it. You know, sometimes we have to encourage out there. Sometimes we have to say that. When you're going through, it looks like you ain't coming out. I don't care how long. I don't even want to talk about how long you've been going in it. I just want to let you know you're coming out. Amen. We ain't going to talk about why you're in it. We ain't going to talk about how long you're in it. We ain't going to talk about what got you in it. You see, that's what we spend too much time focusing on the negative. You spend too much time focusing on what got us there. No, you're there now, so you don't need to focus on what got you there. You need to focus on how you got to come from there, how you going to get out of there. And I come out and tell you, there's a God that is able, a God that will, if you will let him, he will get you out of there. You got to focus on that. You got to turn the negative to lose. You got to realize where you're at now, so ain't no need of feeding it. Ain't no need of fertilizing. Ain't no need of putting no fuel on the fire by sitting around talking about what you're going through, talking about what's happening to you. Listen, all things work together for good to them who love God. It does not matter what you're going through. It works for a purpose. I want to talk about the beginning, the middle, and the end. Can I add that on there? You're already talking about you're coming out, but see, why you're coming out, you're going through something. See, all folks want to do not come out. They soon they get into something, they want to come out. This generation want to come out. They like a microwave. They want an instant come out. They just went in yesterday. They want to come out tomorrow. You can't learn nothing going in yesterday, coming out tomorrow. We go through for a reason. We go through for a season. For the Bible says every man works in kind to see what sort to be. You can't grow if you don't stay in the dirt. Oh, nobody want to get in the dirt. Nobody want to get dirty. Nobody want to go through nothing. You can't grow if you don't stay in the dirt. And you take a plant and pull it out. I don't care how pretty that plant is. You pull it up out of the dirt, it's going to eventually die. It got to have the dirt. It has to have the ground. You got to have something in your life to make you grow. You can't grow if you don't go through nothing. You don't have no affliction. You don't have no trial. You don't have no testing. Excuse me. I couldn't say this a long time ago. I couldn't say this when I was going through a long time ago because I didn't know this. But now that I've learned this, oh, my God. Paul said he rejoiced not in his abilities. Paul said he rejoiced not in the fact that he had the power to heal the sick and folks got healed just by touching his robe. He rejoiced not in the knowledge that he had, but he said he rejoiced in his infirmity. That when he's weak, then he's strong. We need to learn how to rejoice in our infirmity. No, nobody don't want to go through. Nobody wants to go through, but you need to rejoice while you're going through. The Bible said in everything give thanks, but this is the will of God. But Satan got us complaining. He got us grumbling. He got us mumming. We're killing the whole meaning of the whole show. God's trying to make you grow. These things that you're going through, you can't tell nobody if you ain't been through something. All these things are happening for your good. Uh-huh, for your good. The Bible said that what you're going through is a light affliction. It's not even be compared to the glory that is waiting. It ain't going to be compared to what God going to do for you, what God got waiting for you. So quit complaining. Quit grumbling. Quit mumming. Quit trying to want to come out and accept the fact that you're in. You're in there for a reason. You got the beginning, the end, the middle, and the end. Some of us is going in now. Some of us is in now, and some of us coming out. Well, we need to learn. Listen, I want to talk about the process. We need to learn how to handle the process. The process is in the middle. The process is that happened from the beginning and before you get to the end. It's in the middle. It's the part we got to deal. That's the part we fail. We fail the process. When you fail the process, then you come out a loser. So you can come out. You can come out and be a loser. It's bad to go through something to come out a loser. You want to come out a winner. You want to come out victorious. You want to come out more than enough. You want to come out an overcomer. You don't want to come out with your head hung down, all sad, looking like what you've been through, all beat up. No. God wants you to come out with a smile on your face. He wants you to come out with joy in your heart. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. No, you can't have no joy in the natural, but you can have joy in the spiritual. For joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit, and God will give you the joy you need as you go through. So we're going to get into some scriptures. We're going to get into the Word of God. We're going to have a little church this afternoon. Amen. For the Word of God, the Bible said it will sustain us. How many know the Word of God will keep you? It'll sustain you. It'll sanctify you. I don't care how dirty you are. I don't care how messed up you are. I don't care what you're going through. The Word of God will sanctify you and sanctify you wholly. The Bible says we are washed by the water of the Word. Do you know the Word is water? Yeah, spiritual water. And it is the only thing that can wash you. Old folks used to sing a song a long time ago. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. If you're trying to be white as snow, if you're trying to be clinging in the spiritual realm, then you got to use the Word of God. That's the only thing that's going to set you free. That's the only thing that's going to give you the breakthrough. That's the only thing that's going to deliver you. In the name of Jesus. I must let me pause because I hear a lot of noise coming from somewhere. So I don't know who it might be, but there's a lot of background noise coming. So check your devices or whatever might be going on. But we don't want it to be an inference to the service of others. Psalm 34:19 said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, listen, but the Lord delivered him out of all. We're talking about how God will bring you out of all your afflictions. He'll bring you out of all your sickness. He'll bring you out of all your sorrow. He'll bring you out of all your brokenness. He'll bring you out of all your disappointment. He said, many is the affliction of the right. Now listen now, you got to be righteous for God to bring you out of them all. You can't say you right, you got to be right. You can't act like you right, you got to be right. It got to be proven by God that you is right. For the Bible says God knows those that are righteous. God knows those that are his. Are you God? If you belong to God, you are coming out. You're the one I'm talking to this evening. I ain't talking about you if you're playing church. I ain't talking about you pretending to be. Amen. You got to be real. You got to be real. And if you're real, if you're righteous, I don't care what you're going through. It may look like it. You ain't coming out, but you're coming out. Could you imagine how the children of Israel might have felt when they were told that they were coming out? That God is going to send them to deliver, and 50 years went by, and 100 years went by, then 150 years went by, then 200 years went by, then 275 years went by, then 325 years went by, and then 390 years went by, and then 410 years went by, and their deliverance hadn't come. Do you know what? They kept the faith. They believe what they were told by their ancestors, that God's going to bring you out. It may look like he's taking all day to get there. The Bible says, though he looked like he ain't coming, tarry for him. The Bible says, though it looked like he ain't coming, he will come. And the Bible says, when he comes, he's going to knock you down and run you over. How many know that God is coming? He's coming to your rescue. I hope I'm encouraging somebody. He's coming to your rescue. You is coming out of this sickness. I know you've been sick a long time. I know you've been going through in that marriage a long time. I know you've been going through that job a long time. I know your head's been hung down a long time, and it looked like a change ain't coming. It looked like a breakthrough ain't coming. But we could be encouraged this evening by the Word of God that you are coming out. You're talking to someone who's been right what I'm talking. What I'm preaching and what I'm teaching you this evening ain't something I've heard. I'm a partaker of everything I say, every word come out of my mouth. I'm a partaker. Been serving God over 45 years, and I'm a partaker about going through, about being sick. about being bound, not having no joy, when it looked like the answer was not come, waiting on God day after day, week after week, month after month, and it looked like God ain't coming, but I kept the faith. I kept looking until the healed would come at my help. Why? Because I knew my help was coming from the Lord. I knew God was coming. You got to know God coming. Do you hear what I say? You got to know God coming. You got to put it in your heart. You got to put it in your soul. You got to get it in your mind that God is coming. I'll come by to tell you this afternoon from the Burning Bush Church, 402 North 13th Street in Irving, that God is coming to your rescue. He is going to bring you out. He is going to deliver you. Huh? He is going to heal you from your affliction. He is going to give you a breakthrough. He is going to give you that job. He is going to put food on your table. He is going to put clothes on your back. He is going to help you take care of your children. He is going to help you take care of your marriage. Just make sure that you get your act together. Just make sure you're doing what you're supposed to do. Huh? The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things to be added. Make sure you're seeking God first. Make sure you're putting the horse in front of the cart and not the cart in front of the horse. Make sure you're doing your part and you're not out of place with the situation. Putting God first in everything. See, while you're going through, you got to put God first. See, what happened is, if I might pause, what happened is, Satan will have you putting God last while you're going through. Yeah, you're going through, but you got God on the back burner. You call him whenever. You call him when you get in trouble. You call him when things are too big for you to handle. You call him when the load's so heavy you can't carry it no more. No. The Bible said, in all thy ways acknowledge God, and he shall direct thy path. You should have got in touch with God before the load got heavy. You got in touch with God before you ran into the situation, before you ran into the problem. God wants you to depend on him. God wants you to trust in him. God wants you to trust him as your battling ram. God wants you to trust him as your provider, your protector, your deliverer, your doctor, your healer, your mind regulator. God wants you to depend on him just like a child depends on his mother to give his milk, to put pampers on it, to change it when it get wet. God wants you to trust in him. That's why he said, in all thy ways. And that's why we have to humble ourselves. The Bible says, humble thyself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt thee in due season. We got to humble ourselves. That's why he said when we come to him, we had to come to him as little children. You got to humble. A child is humble. A child don't hold grudges. No matter what, you beat a child, and next thing you know, he's back hugging your neck. He done forgot all about that beating you gave him. He ain't sitting there mad at you the rest of the day because you spanked him, because you chastised him. But that's what we do. We sit around mad at somebody because they did something to us, because somebody said something to us, because somebody didn't respond to us, somebody didn't shake our hand. We sit around like and pout. But the Bible said, be as little children. Be forgiving and forgetful. See, little children will forget what happened. They'll forget. We won't. We hold grudges. We'll sit around and hold grudges against one another. Little children will believe what you tell them. If you tell them you're going to bring them back a bag of candy, and you don't see them no more, and you don't see them no more in 10 years, when you come back, you need to have that bag of candy, because they believe that you're going to bring candy. You told them the next time you were coming, you were bringing them a bag of candy. And that child will wait. If you got to wait 5 years, 10 years, 2 years, he will wait. But no, we ain't that way. If somebody don't bring them a bag of candy for a period of time, we begin to judge them and call them liars, and, oh, they lied. They said they're going to bring candy. They didn't bring the candy. But we got to have a childlike mind. We got like a childlike heart. But he said in order for us to enter into heaven, for us to enter into glory, we got to have a childlike mind. Oh, my God. We got to have like a childlike mind. Do you hear what I'm saying? That's what the scripture said. We got to have a childlike mind. That's what we got to have. And when we got that childlike mind, God's going to bless us. God's going to heal us. God's going to deliver us. God's going to set us free. Then we can walk humble before God when we got that childlike mind. We can walk humble before the Lord then. But that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to walk humble before him. Amen. So let us take God's word and do what the word says, cause the word and believe what the word says and know that God is going to deliver us. God is going to bring it out. God is going to give us a victory in all that we do. And we got to believe that. So let us take the word of God. Let us apply it. And know that through all our afflictions, we're coming out on the gaining side. We're coming out with the victory. In the name of Jesus. Trying to get my scripture together here. Amen. I know that we got to have faith while we're going through. We're talking about the process now. We're talking about the process. Let's talk about the process. The process is that it's in the middle. This is where we messed up at. This is where we failed. This is where we failed to wait on God. I told you God's going to bring you out. But in order for him to bring you out, you can't give up. If you give up, you can't come out. A quitter don't win. Listen, a quitter never win, and a winner never lose. You can't win quitting. You can't win giving up. You can't win throwing in the towel. You got to not quit. I don't care how bad it seems. You can't quit. You can't give up. You can't throw in the towel. You got to trust God. Yes, you got to trust God. You got to know that God is going to bring you out. You got to put that thing. I'm beating on this CTC because I'm trying to help somebody. You're giving up too quick. You're fainting. You're fainting. You're throwing in the towel. Satan, because you've been going through so long, Satan is trying to make you give up now and say God should have done it by now. But what you need to do is have an inventory, because sometimes it ain't God. The reason the answer ain't came. Sometimes it's us, because we're not in place. We're not doing what we're supposed to do. We're out of the will of God and want God to bless us. But the Bible said there's no glory in doing wrong. God's not going to glorify your wrongdoing. If God glorifies your wrongdoing, you're going to keep on doing wrong. So check yourself. See where you at in God. See where you at in God. Because the scripture tell us that God will withhold no good thing. You hear me? Withhold no good thing. No good thing, he said, from them that walk up right before him. So if you're walking up right before God, God said he withhold no good thing from you. And if you ain't getting them good things from God, you have an inventory. It's okay to have an inventory of ourselves. Every now and then we need to have an inventory of ourselves. Every now and then we need to check ourselves. So we're talking about the process. If Satan wants us to mess up in the process, he wants us not to make the go-through part. That's the part we mess up. Jesus told the disciples he'll meet them on the other side. In order for them to get to the other side, they had to go across the river. See, he said, why would he tell him that he's going to meet them on the other side if he wanted them to meet them on the other side? How are you going to meet them on the other side if they're going to drown out in the middle of the sea? They should have knew that whenever the storm came. So God done told them, I'll meet you on the other side. If he say he's going to meet you on the other side, then he's going to meet you on the side. If he done told you that he's going to do this and he's going to do that and it ain't been done, and you ain't fit to go nowhere. You ain't fit to die. Because you have not accomplished the task. The promise God gave you, you hadn't got it yet. So God don't promise anything, then turn around and let you die before he give you the promise. He's not a lying God. He's going to do just what he said. But you got to keep the faith. For Hebrews 11 and 16, and without faith it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he existed. You got to know he existed. This is where your victory come in. You got to first know that he is God. See, now it's one thing to know God is God, and then you turn around after you knowing God is God. You turn around after you know God is God, and then you turn around and don't believe it. You got to believe he God. Not only know he God, but you got to believe he God. And you got to believe that he's going to diligently reward you for all you're going through. He's going to diligently reward you for all you're going through. That's what he said in the scripture. He said he will diligently reward you for all that you're going through. That means you got to know that your suffering is not in vain. We used to sing a song, is my living in vain? No, your living is not in vain. Is my singing in vain? We said no. You got to know that what you're going through is not in vain. God didn't bring you this far to leave you now. You hear me? He didn't bring you this far to leave you now. Now, let's get back to the script. Let's get back to the Word of God. I got back on track and I had lost my little strip right there. The devil mad because we're having such a good time this afternoon. 2 Corinthians 4:17 said, for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all compassion. See, you got a guilt inside you. And that guilt is not going to manifest itself unless it goes through something. It's like grapes. It's like wine. Wine get better as it get older. But before the wine is made, the grapes are put into a vase. And people step, it's a big old wooden vase, and they pour all the grapes in the vase. And then they step on them and step on them and step on them and step on them and step on them till they mash all the juice out of the grape. They step on the grape. They keep stepping on the grape. And while they step on the grape, all the juices come out the grape. That's how you is. God got let life circumstance step on you. Because you hid grape. You hid wine. He made you for his glory. He wants people to drink you. But they can't drink you unless you be stepped on. You can't help nobody unless you've been hurt. You can't help nobody hurt unless you've been hurt. You can't help nobody in their marriage if you ain't been through nothing in your marriage. You can't help nobody sick and you ain't never been sick. The things you're going through, it's working for the good of others. It's working in God's favor. God's going to get the glory out of it. It's producing an eternal weight of glory. Yes. It's dealing with your spiritual man. It's causing your spiritual man to become alive. Psalm 119, it said, it is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your status. That's what David said in Psalm 119. It's good that you were afflicted. I know you don't want to be afflicted. I don't want to be afflicted. We don't want to go through nothing. We don't want nobody to talk about us. Oh, y'all help me this evening. You don't want nobody to lie on you. You don't want nobody to hang your name on the signboard. Oh, I know you don't, but you were made for God's glory. It ain't what you want. Listen, this thing ain't about what you want. It's about God's will been done in your life. Do you think Joseph wanted his brother to sell him into Egypt? Do you think Joseph wanted to end up in Potiphar's house? Do you think Joseph wanted Potiphar's wife to accuse him of a crime he didn't commit? Do you think Joseph wanted to go into the prison and stay there a number of years for being accused of attempted rape? Do you think he wanted all that? No, he didn't, but God did. But God had a purpose for Joseph. God made Joseph for his own glory. God allowed that to happen. Joseph said in the end, you desired it for evil, but God meant it for my good. You did it for evil. You did it out of the meanness of your heart. That's what his brother did. His brother did it out. That's what Joseph said it the way he said it. He said, you did it out of the meanness of your heart. You did it because you hated me. You did it because you were jealous of me. You did it because you were envy of me. Oh, you did it out of selfishness. You did it for an evil purpose. Say, but that's all right. God was in it. You meant it for my bad? See, God allows people to do things to you, and they do it for an evil reason. Oh, yes, they do. And they try to make an excuse why they did it. They just like Joseph's brother. They did it for an evil purpose. Joseph's brother meant to sell him into Egypt. They were going to kill him, but one of the brothers delivered them out of their hands. And they sold him into a caravan and went into Egypt. And they meant that. Went back and lied to their daddy. Carried Joseph's coat back, all bloody. About to kill their daddy. About to make their daddy have a heart attack. That was an evil thing for them to go back home and do. And tell their daddy that Joseph was dead. And an evil beast killed him. And now the daddy thinking that the evil beast killed Joseph. He ate Joseph. Just thinking about it, somebody come back, tell your child been not only killed, but he been eaten by a lion, eaten by an evil beast, and all the things you bring back into clothes. They eat him up, eat his bones and everything. Don't you know there's a terrible thing? Joseph's daddy said he would never be comforted. He said, ain't no need of y'all comfort me. He said, cause I'm going to grieve all the way to the grave. That was a bad thing. But out of all that, y'all, that was bad. But out of all that, God was behind it. God was in it. and save a people alive. Because Jonah had not went to Egypt, and Jonah had not interpreted the king's dream, that famine that came in the land for them 7 years, it would have wiped Egypt out. It would have wiped out all Egypt. It would have wiped out the nation. There would have been people died. Many people would have died. Millions of people would have died from the famine. But God sees the future. He sees what's going on. And God needs somebody that he can recruit. God needs somebody who he can use. God needs somebody that don't mind going through. They won't ain't gonna complain about their suffering. Jonah did not complain. Jonah could have got depressed. Jonah could have got anxiety. Jonah could have got a mopingville. Jonah could have just thrown in the towel and quit because that happened to him. That could have took his joy, took his strength, took his stamina, but it didn't. He allowed God to use him in the midst of it going through. Can God use you in the midst of your going through? God going to bring you out. Quit focusing on coming out. I done told you at the beginning of the service, you coming out. So we ain't going to talk about that part. You know that now. But what you going to do? Why are you coming out? I didn't say you was out. I said you coming out. God going to bring you out. But God wants you to be usable. He wants you to be able to use you while you're going through. So if God can't use you while you're going through, then he can't get no glory out of you. God wants people to look at you and say, wow, all this stuff she been through. All the lies that were told on her. Look how her husband did her. Look how his wife did him. Look how them children did her. And she kept the faith. He didn't give up. She didn't give up. They kept on coming to prayer meeting, Bible study. They kept on doing what God told them to do. They kept on using their gift. They didn't cuss. They didn't go drinking. They didn't go get on no drugs. They didn't get to acting crazy. But they were steadfast. Huh? The Bible said, be ye steadfast and immovable. How many know these things come to move you? These things come to get you out of place. They come to get you out of the will of God. But God wants you to not be immovable. God wants you to grow from one grace into another. God wants you to go to higher heights and deeper depths. So when Satan come along to try to move you, when Satan come along to try to get you out of place, when Satan come along to try to get you in a lockdown situation, that's what he want to do. He want to get you in a deadlock. He wants you to get you somewhere where you'll get there and stay there and won't move, won't go forward, won't go back. Get you stuck in the mud. So all you do is just stand there, just stuck in the mud. God can't get nothing out of you until he bring you out. It's sad that there's some people, God don't get nothing out of them until he bring them out. Now when he bring them out, oh, they got a testimony. Oh, man, you can't sit them down in the church. They got a testimony. But when they're going through, they're sad. They gloomy, they're miserable, they're disappointed. You don't even want to be around them because they're going through. You got to learn to have joy while you're going through. You got to learn to have peace while you're going through. I know this may not happen when you first get saved, but after you grow in grace, you have to learn. Huh? Is that what the songwriter say? Huh? Let me sing a little portion of what the songwriter said. I've learned how to live holy. I've learned how to live right. I've learned how to suffer. If I suffer, I shall gain eternal life. I said, I learned. Oh, I'm learning. Is anybody learning? I'm learning how to live holy. See, it's a learning experience. It just don't happen overnight. Serving God is a learning experience. And as you serve him, he teach you how to walk. He teach you how to talk. He teach you how to be strong. He teach you how not to throw in the towel. He teach you how not to give up. He teach you not to cry about every little thing you go through. I'm learning how to live holy. So you got to learn how to live holy. You've been living an ungodly life all these years, and now you've been born again. You've been converted. Now you're a child of God, and you got to learn how to live holy. Oh, I'm learning how to live right. And even in suffering, you got to learn how to suffer. I'm learning how to suffer. For if I suffer, I shall gain eternal life. Jesus said you got to suffer with him. If you're going to reign with him, you got to suffer with him. You got to learn how to live holy. You got to learn how to live right. You got to learn how to suffer that you might attain eternal life. You're not going to attain eternal life if you don't know how to suffer. Because if you don't know how to suffer, you're going to give up. You're going to throw in the towel. You're going to get defeated. Mm-hmm. The Bible can let him that is weak say he's strong. I hope I'm helping somebody. And yes, I'm learning. I'm learning how to live holy. Yes, I'm learning how to live right. I'm learning how to suffer. For if I suffer, if I suffer, I shall gain eternal life. Somebody listen to me now. God is teaching you. God is helping you. He's helping you how to live holy. Oh, come on. Some of you are coming short. Some of you are failing to cross your teeth. Some of you not dotting your eyes. That's why you're going through. That's why these things is happening to you. That's why affliction is on your body. That's why you're going through these trials. Uh-huh. The Bible says he that suffer in the flesh sees from sin. See, sometimes God has to allow us to suffer in order for us to get this sin out of us. For us to realize that life is real, for us to come to reality that I got to quit playing church. I got to quit pretending that I'm saved. I got to quit pretending, trying to fool somebody, make like I got it all together. No, sometimes God will allow us to suffer. But the Bible says he does suffer in the flesh. Sometimes God will let trials and sickness come in your flesh just to get you in the right place. So get you sanctified. Get your mind in the right place so you can make up your mind for God I live. And for God, I die. Uh-huh. So that's why David said, it's good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your study. It's good that you afflicted me. It made me open up my eyes and see the mistakes I'm making, this shabby life I was living. And now that you afflicted me, God, my mind made up now. My heart is sick to serve you. Uh-huh. Romans 12:12, rejoice in hope. Persevering in tribulation, devoted in prayer. Listen, while you're going, this while in the process, while you're going through, rejoice. The Bible said when men revive you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely, it didn't say complain. It didn't say get on the telephone and tell everybody. It didn't say get on your cell phone and call everybody and tell them what they've done to you. It didn't say get on the Facebook grumbling and mumming, telling everybody what somebody's doing to you. Talking about you ain't mad at them. What you're doing on Facebook talking about it for if you ain't mad at them. Talking about I'm not mad at nobody. I just want everybody to know no matter what you're doing to me, I'm going to be all right. You don't need to get on Facebook and say that. You don't need to even do that. You letting them know. My mama used to tell us, that when you let somebody know they bother you, they'll keep on bothering you. Now, you don't let them know that they're bothering you. Now, they're going to keep on bothering you. They're going to keep on doing something crazy just to get next to you. Don't let people know they're bothering you. Don't you give into that trick. Huh? Don't you let them take you down there. See, people down there that talk about you, people down there that ain't got nothing to do but gossip and talk about you and hang your name on the signboard, they way down there. They ain't up there. Do you hear me? They way down there. But I encourage you, don't you let them take you down there where they at. You stay where you are. Let them go down there and talk about you. Oh, I feel this thing. Let them go down there and lie on you. Let them go down there and hang your name on the signboard. Let them go down there and say you ain't nothing. Let them go down there and say you ain't going to mount to anything. Let them go down there and say you ain't no apostle. Let them go down there and say you ain't no prophet. You ain't no evangelist. You ain't a good mother. You ain't a good father. You a hypocrite. You ain't a Christian really saved. Let them go down and stay there. Just don't you go down there where they're at, trying to get back even with them. You know you saved. You know you're born again. You know you're a good mother and a father. You know you're a good apostle. You know that you're a Christian. You know you've been born again. You know that you ain't what you used to be. Don't let nobody take you down there. I've learned that the hard way. People take you down there. They want you to say, some of you go down there with folks, you got to stay down there with them. Down there. They down there nothing. Ain't nothing down there. See, they ain't got no lifestyle. Huh? You know what I'm saying? Get a life. They ain't got no life. They life in you. And you making them your life. See, their life is messing with you. Their life is lying on you. Their life is talking about you. And you down there helping them. You down there going along with it. Don't pay them more attention. Ignore them. And you keep on growing. For the Bible said, be ye steadfast and immovable. Always abounding. See, when you don't be steadfast, you end up down there. You end up going backwards. You end up not growing. You end up not prospering. You end up being immovable. He said, be yourself and unmovable. They done move you now. They done move you out of your place. They done move you down there in Looneyville. They done move you now. Now you sitting around complaining. Every time somebody say something about that person, you down complain what they did that to me and they did that to me. I don't why they did that to me. I didn't do nothing to them and they did that to me and I don't understand. Do you not know the scripture that says, pray for them that despitefully use you? I think they meant it. Yes, they meant it. But the scripture told you to pray. Change your attitude. You got to change your attitude by, see, I'm going to help somebody. If you're going to go through, you got to change your attitude while you're going through. You got to go through anyway, so why not go through with a potted attitude? Why not go through with confidence? Why not go through with assurance? Why not go through and let them stay down there doing what they're doing, and you keep your eyes on God, looking unto the hill which come at your help, knowing that all your help comes from the Lord. I encourage you, don't let nobody take you down there no more. You stay up with God. Let them talk about you, but you stay with God. Let them talk about you, but you keep on praying. Pray for them. Pray for them that despite. Come on, you know we don't do that. We don't pray for people despite for you. We mad at them. We talking about them. We body mad at them, and they mad at us. But don't do that. Don't do that. Change your attitude. Change your characteristics. Change your behavior. Change how you handle this situation. Next time they talk about you, pray for them. Next time somebody come to you and tell you somebody to talk about you, just go move the chair out the middle of the floor. Move the kitchen table if you want to and give you a good praise. Get a good dance in and begin to say, hallelujah. God, I thank you, Lord. I thank you that you allow them to talk about me. I thank you that you allow them to lie on me. I thank you that you let them hang my name on the sign. Because I know you're going to bless me, God. I know you got a blessing waiting for me. That's what David said when he was moving out of the city and his son was trying to take over the throne. And there was this man running along the hilltop. He was mad at David because, see, when David got become king, he wasn't supposed to become king because Saul's son Jonathan was supposed to become king, following the ancestry of Saul. But instead, God gave the kingdom to David. And now that man on Saul's side, part of the family, he mad at David. He glad that David's son is trying to take over the throne. And he called David a dog and everything else. And David men said, look, let me go and kill him. I go kill him with the sword. But David said, leave him alone. Pre-adventure, God allowed this to happen for my glory. God's going to turn this thing around. See, baby, God will let people do things up to you so you can be blessed from it. How God going to spread a table before your enemy if you ain't got none? Do you hear what I say? How is God going to spread a table before your enemy and you ain't got no enemy? So leave your enemy alone. The more enemy you got, the more it's going to come to the dinner. The more be sitting at the table. Now listen, he didn't say they're going to sit at the table with you. He didn't say they're going to eat with you. They ain't put no napkin around their neck and get no spoon and a fork. And they're going to sit at the table and eat with you. He said he would spread the table before them. He didn't say he going to serve the table with them and to them. The table going to be spread before them. They're going to see you eating. They're going to see your blessing. They're going to see your healing. They're going to see your deliverance. They're going to see God bring you out on the game side. They're going to see God picking you up from a downtrodden position. They're going to see your wealth. They're going to see your prosperity. Uh-huh. They're going to see you growing from one grace to another. They're going to see you preaching on a brand new anointing, but they can't do nothing about it. They ain't going to get none of it. All that belongs to you. Oh, my God. So rejoice in hope. Yes. Not only are you hoping for God to bring you out, not only are you hoping for God to deliver you, not only for hoping for God to straighten out your children, hoping for God to straighten out your husband and your wife, straighten out God to hope straighten out your church member, hope for God to straighten out your job, hope for God to heal your body, hope for God to put some money in your pocket, hope for God to give you a better job. Hoping for God to bring you from the bottom to the top, but you're going to rejoice while you're hoping. See, some people be hoping, but they're so sad. You see the cutting on the face, head hung all down like they've been beat up. No, while you hoping, rejoice. Why are you persevering? Why are you going through in your tribulation? Rejoice. Yes, yes. We apologize for the interruption, but that's all right. Satan is just mad because the word is good. Somebody's going to get this thing. God is going to bring some deliverance. God wants you to be listening. You may not come out tomorrow, but don't be mad about that. Don't get discouraged about that. No, you're coming out. I come out to tell you. I didn't come out to tell you you're coming out tomorrow. I didn't tell you you were coming out Friday. I didn't come out to tell you you're coming out Sunday. That ain't what he told me. He told me to tell you to hold on. Don't give up. That you are coming out. Victory is on the way. God is going to deliver you. Huh? But in the meantime, you got to have the right attitude while you're waiting on God to bring you out. That's why he said, be ye steadfast and unmovable. Why are you waiting on God to bring you out? Why are you waiting on God to deliver you? Why are you waiting on God to fix your marriage, straighten out your husband, straighten out your wife? See, the problem is husband and wife. Let me help you some. See, the problem is husband and wife is you sitting there waiting for God to fix your husband. You sitting there waiting for God to fix your wife, but you won't fix yourself. Sometimes you got to change. So I don't care. Sometimes when the situation don't change, you got to change. I reminded of someone was telling me about a situation where this woman was going through and her husband, and she was going through and looked like he was just getting her a hard way to go. And they prayed for the woman, and she heard a sermon, and an encouraging sermon. And the man said he didn't see the woman about 3 or 4 years later. And the woman looked like she was lit up. It looked like she was on fire. It looked like that God had delivered her and brought her out. And he asked her, he said, what happened? She said, did God save your husband? She said, no, he didn't save my husband. He saved me. She changed. So her husband didn't change. He's still the devil he was. But she changed. Sometimes you got to change when the situation don't change. Sometimes you got to do whatever you can do to get the victory. You can't sit there waiting for somebody else to bring you an umbrella. You go get your own umbrella, huh? You can't sit there waiting for somebody to bring your deliverance. Sometimes you got to give up and deliver yourself. You got to get a positive attitude. She realized that she stayed the way she was, she would never have no joy. She would never have no peace. She never have no happiness. So she decided that she's going to get happy. Regardless how her husband act, she said, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. You got to get up in the morning and make your day. You make your day. Everyday life, you make your day. Are you to have a watch, and on that watch it said, everyday life, everyday, everyday, everyday life. Life is good. How many know life is good? It's up to you to make your life good while you're going through. Yes, I know you're going through, but you got to make your life good while you're going through. Huh? And 2 Corinthians 1 and 4 says, who comfort us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in affliction with the comfort for wit. We ourselves are comfort. See, God got you going through because he needs you down the road to help somebody else not commit suicide, to help somebody else not kill themselves, to help somebody else not to take their life, to help somebody else not throw in the towel, to help somebody else not quit. So God's going to help you in your affliction so later on you'll be strong enough. See, God just ain't delivering you so you could be delivered. God delivering you so you could deliver somebody else later on. You got to learn to grow in grace. God trying to use you. He got, because later on somebody going to need your testimony. You right now you feel like, I can't help nobody. What I'm going through, I can't help. I don't want to be bothered with nobody. How am I ever helping anybody? All this happened to me. God's going to deliver you and give you a testimony. God's going to deliver you and give you the grace you need. He's going to comfort you, according to 2 Corinthians 1 and 4. He's going to comfort you so you'll be able to comfort others in a time of their affliction, as you would comfort. It said Jesus was tempted in every area of life. Jesus was tempted. Ain't nothing you going through that Jesus ain't already went through. The Bible said Jesus was tempted in every area of his life that he might should scout us in a time of temptation. Jesus done been through. Huh? You hear me? Jesus done been through. Jesus already been through everything so he can help you get through what you're going through. Jesus know what you're going through. He know your hurt. He know your disappointment. He know your setback. He know what people are doing to you. He see this stabbing you in your back. But what he wants you to do is rejoice. As you rejoice, you're going to get more joy. The word rejoice means get more joy. Rejoice. In other words, like you kicking your joy in gear. It's like you charging your joy. You're rejoicing. See, you already got joy, but your joy needed enhancement. Your joy needed enlightenment. Your joy needed a boost. So that's what rejoice means. It means to reboost. It means to reboost. It means to rekindle. It means to kick in gear the joy you already have. Wow. Ain't that sound good? Rejoice means give your joy. You got more joy. Because the more joy you are, the more strength you have. For with joy shall we draw from the well of salvation. So the more you enhance your joy, the more you kick your joy and the more you boost your joy off, the more you enhance your joy, the more you enlighten your joy, you're not rejoicing. It may look like there ain't nothing to rejoice for. You lied on, talked about, name hung on the signboard. You ain't got no reason in the world for you to be rejoicing. But God say do it, because God know best. God wants. See what God trying to do? He's trying to give you the strength, because you need strength. And you can't have no strength, you ain't got no joy. So that's why you rejoicing. Here with tears in your eyes, but you rejoicing. Been lied on, but you rejoicing. Pain in your body, but you rejoicing. Been stabbed in your back, but you rejoicing. Your bills are due and your money gone, but you rejoicing. You're building up your joy. You enlightening your joy. You kindling your joy. So you have the strength you need to make it through the trial. Now, Colossians 2:1-24, maybe my last verse. Colossians 1:24. Now I rejoice in my suffering for your sake, and in my flesh do I share on behalf of his body, which is the church, filling up what is lacking in Christ's affliction. Paul said, I rejoice in my suffering. Yet Paul said, I rejoice, yes, because God is using me to help you. God is using me to deliver you. God is using me to bring you a word that will heal you, that will help you in your affliction through Christ Jesus. So I rejoice. I rejoice. Nahum, Nahum 1:9, whatever you devise against the Lord, he will make a complete end of it. Distress will not rise up twice. Whatever you trust in God to do, whatever you done told God that God, people that God would do, whatever you done laid out there and testified against God, you done met around and testified to the people that God gonna bring you out. You done testified, shata, ikondabo, that God's gonna deliver you. You done testified and advised against God. You done put God's name, shata da boche. You done put God's name out on the line. Done told somebody that God gonna heal you, that God isn't gonna deliver you. Do you think God ain't gonna honor his name? Do you don't think God gonna honor what you just did? You met around and put God on the spot and told somebody God going to lift you up, God going to bring you out, God going to give you the victory, God going to pay your bills, God going to heal your marriage, God going to restore your relationship, God going to give you a job. Don't you know that you just put a spotlight on God and God going to do that just then? Do you hear me? So you trust the Lord this evening, and we'll attempt to. He will tempt you. Let me get this one verse. Give me one more verse. Job 26:15 said, he delivered the afflicted in their affliction. Job said that. Here Job has been afflicted. Job said he'll deliver the afflicted in their affliction. You afflicted. And in your affliction, God's going to deliver you. No matter what you're going through. Mm-hmm. Many is the affliction of the righteous. Yes. We're counting what you're going through. And look at the God that's going to bring you out of it. He is going to bring you out of all this. You is coming out of what he told me this evening. I'm going to close with that. You is coming out. There were times that I looked like I wasn't coming out. There were times that I felt like I wasn't coming out. There were times when the circumstance didn't look like I was coming out. But God brought me out. All the way out of prison. All the way from the bottom to the top. From the prison to the palace. From nothing to something. I had nothing. Didn't even have a name. In prison, you ain't got no name. I didn't even have a name in prison. I was a nobody. In prison, you just a number. In prison, you belong to the state. You don't belong to your family no more. You don't belong to your loved one no more. You ain't nobody. You just a number. And society done counted you out. As long as you there in prison, as long as you belong to the state, you just state-owned person. They can treat you like they want to treat you. They don't call you nothing. And I had nothing. I was nobody. But God took a nobody and blessed me, and he delivered me, and he brought me out, and he gifted me, and he made me, he saved me, and he made me an evangelist, Then he made me a prophet. Then he made me a pastor. He made me a teacher. He made me an apostle. He gave me a wife. We just celebrated 43 years on Valentine's Day. He gave me four beautiful children, three daughters and a son. And he gave me 21 grandbabies. Tell me God won't do it. And he blessed me to retire. He blessed me to retire. I don't have to get up in the morning and go to work. He blessed me to retire so I might go full-time into the ministry, that I might be able to give more of myself to him. I just want you to know that God will bring you out. I am a witness that he'll bring you out. I don't care how low you are. Quit looking at what you've been through. Quit looking at the fact that you came out of prison. Quit looking at the fact that you were behind bars. Quit looking at the fact that you were in a low estate, and here you is having a pity party over your failure. Quit having a pity party over your failure. Quit fertilizing your failure. Quit fertilizing your setback. Quit fertilizing your defeat. Quit fertilizing that marriage that broke up, and clean yourself up and act and comb your hair. Fix yourself up so God can send somebody else your way. One failure don't mean that you've been defeated. Because you lost don't mean you a loser. Get up on your feet. Look into the hills with coming your help, knowing all your help coming from the Lord who made the heaven and the earth. Precious Father, we thank you for the word this afternoon that you've given us, O Lord, letting us know that we're coming out. No matter how it looks, no matter what we feel, no matter what we think, no matter what nobody is saying, no matter how bad the situation is, no matter how low we may be, God, you said we are coming out. And I came by to encourage the radio world, the Lost Seed program, God, everyone that is listening, Lord. I come by to encourage them this evening that you are bringing them out, that victory is on the way, that there is more than a conqueror. They ain't so low, God, that they can't come up, God. They ain't down so far, God, that they can't make it back to the top, God. Oh, I feel your anointing. I feel your presence. Touch somebody now, God, that is listening, oh Lord. Encourage their heart, Lord. Lift up their spirit, Lord. Lift up their faith, Lord. Lift up their endeavor, God. Give them back their confidence, Lord. For the Bible says, don't lose the confidence we have in God. For it has such a great recompense of reward. Somebody have lost their confidence. Somebody have lost their assurance. Somebody have lost their hope, God. And they feel like they can't come out. They feel like they done went down too far. They feel like they done been in it so long. They feel like they've been hurt so much. They feel like they've been sick for so long that they can't be well, oh God. But I know you a healer. I know you a deliverer. I know you a way maker. I know you a problem solver. I know you a mind regulator. And I know, God, that they're coming out because you told me. They're telling me this evening that they're coming out. So I encourage you, brother, your world. I encourage everyone to listen to me. I encourage everyone on the sound of my voice. Lift up your head to hang it down and straighten out your favored knee. Look into the hills with coming your help, for your help is coming from God, and God is coming to bring you out. God is going to deliver you. Better days are coming. Better days are ahead. What you're going through now is not determining what it's going to be, but you keep on looking up. You keep on being encouraged. You keep on fasting. You keep on praying. You keep on seeking the face of the Lord. And one day you're going to look back and laugh at all this and say, how I got over. That's what the old folks said. Oh, how I got over. You're going to be able to sing this song, how I got over. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost, be encouraged. In Jesus' name, amen.